Hello and welcome to another Fool's Daily. I'm Conrad and with me this morning is a new host in the form of...
Hello.
New host. What? Who are you?
Hello. I am an old man. Past my best.
How old are you?
Not as old as you. Hello, everybody. It's me. I know you were fooled by my amazing impersonation skills.
I was going to ask for you to do a 30-second bio as you're new, but...
Okay.
But don't my bother. Don't bother.
I can't remember. Well, that's okay, because I can't remember that far back anyway.
Hello, Mike.
Hello, mate.
You know, life gets in the way, and then we stop recording. But we've had... Yeah. We had Joel do some recording.
We did, it was lovely.
Yes, it was lovely, lovely. What are we going to talk about today?
Well, you told me what we were going to talk about. I'm just a mere hanger-on to your greatness.
Well, this is a topic that has been suggested.
Suggested?
I shouldn't have drunk that glass of whiskey this morning. It's just topped it up, hasn't it? It's been suggested by the lovely Richard Padgett.
Oh, we love Richard Padgett.
From that wonderful Hordes and War Machine podcast, though it might be a little bit irregular in terms of release, called Alpha Strike Radio. Originally,
Is that actually still going?
Well, I saw Nathan Hall at the weekend, who apparently is one of the co-hosts. It's not Rich throwing his voice. And he just didn't rise to the bait.
Oh, okay. Because is it as irregular as Boosted Damage?
It's even more irregular than that now. No, it isn't. No, Boosted Damage is more irregular than Alpha Strike. Anyway, one of the topics he suggested us talking about is what happens when your love of a game dies and what causes it, and how do we get, you know, what happens basically. So I thought that was a pretty interesting topic because we all go through it.
We do. So, I suppose the question is, how many games have you had your love die on?
Fantasy is one. Okay. Warhammer Ancients, I don't play that anymore. Flames of War. Warmaster. I suppose I could count 40k now. I didn't play it that often. I wouldn't say it was a regular game of mine, but may as well do. And there is a certain aspect of my Hordes and War Machine love dying at the moment, but not completely.
Hmm.
What about you?
So basically you're the kiss of death to games.
No, they're still going. They're still retailing those games.
What about me? I suppose Warhammer, though not as much as you.
Well, at least you've had games of eight.
Yes. 40k, certainly. Ancients, certainly. Trying to think of things more recent than that.
Tiddlywinks? Have you stopped playing Tiddlywinks?
Blood Bowl.
Mmm. Blood Bowl's still playing for me, so.
Blood Bowl. Just trying to think what else. I mean, there's things probably that I dabbled in and then went, yeah, maybe not.
What, Mordai, like, Necromunda?
Well, no. I'm thinking more things like Infinity.
Okay, yeah.
Where I bought some, I got some figures, I played a couple of games, and then I went, yeah. But I know, I'm not sure if that's the same thing as...
Yeah, no, I'm guessing that when your love of a game dies means that you should have loved it in the first place.
Yeah.
So, if you didn't really get on with Infinity, you've given it... It's... Mind you, I suppose that's a topic on its own, you know. What happens when you don't get on with game systems? But that'd be a short podcast because it's pretty much you don't play it anymore.
Well, yeah, actually, that wouldn't be a bad topic because, I mean, there are certainly games that I've tried to force myself to play.
Or like, even.
I mean, well, I mean, War Machine is the prime example.
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I tried to play War Machine, because everyone was playing it, and all my friends were playing it, so I tried to play it. I bought figures, I played a couple of games, and this is, you know, Mark 1. And I just didn't like it. But I still tried, you know, I still tried, because you want to play what your friends are playing.
But didn't you have an inherent dislike of the figures as well?
I did, yeah.
That I mean, playing a tabletop game where you don't like the aesthetics of the figure range is just countermount to kiss of death anyway, because why would you play with stuff that you don't like the look of? It's just not...
Yeah, and I must admit, the way that War Machine is now, I mean, even if there were figures that I liked, I still wouldn't get into it, because the figures I like in the range, and there are the odds, one, are Jax.
Yep.
And yeah, I look at everybody, what everyone plays with, and you don't see any.
No, I disagree. You see Jax in Convergence. You see Jax basically in factions that are not Signar. Definitely Menoth, definitely Convergence, definitely Mercenaries.
Okay. But you still see more infantry?
Yes, obviously. Yeah, well, you do. Yeah, because the game is an objective stroke territory based game. So because it's based around the whole steamroller scenario pack, you need Jax can't do that on their own.
All right. Okay.
Neither can Jocks, but they were. That was a slip of the tongue. Anyway, back to the topic.
Yeah.
What caused your love for a game to die?
All right. So my love of 40K changed when the rule set changed. But not a modern rule set. What are they in for 40K at the moment? Seventh?
Who knows?
I don't know. Basically, I liked Rogue Trader. I played Rogue Trader massively. I had masses and masses of figures for Rogue Trader. And when it switched to second edition 40K, and I suppose the more organized, it's ironic, really, the more organized play elements of it.
Yeah.
Rather than the hodgepodge that it was before. You know, I had orcs and I had, you know, roll... Because I was playing with the same group of friends, we'd rolled up, you know, all the custom orc weapons, and I had a melter gun that on a 1 or a 2 would it just explode. On a 6 it did really good, but on a 1 or a 2 it just blew up.
So there's a fun and random...
Yeah.
Kookiness
if I go really far back, it's like Realms of Chaos.
Yeah.
And, you know, Chaos Warbands. Playing with your mates with Chaos Warbands was awesome.
Yep.
You just got a whole load of random figures, and they were all uber great, and, you know, you just knock 7 bells out of each other.
Random mutations.
Yeah. And that sort of went away, and I didn't mind that going away from Warhammer so much, but when that sort of went away from 40K, well, when Rogue Trader became 40K, basically, that sort of destroyed it for me. And then around the time of 4th edition, I sort of picked it back up again and gave it another shot, and I ended up with a load of Space Marines that were painted up as Imperial Fists. And I went to a couple of events, and the whole tournament scene then killed it for me dead as a dodo.
Very much optimal list builds, broken combos, broken whatever. Well, it all hinged around the whole optimal list builds sort of thing for essentially crushing your gaming at those sorts of events to a certain extent, as well as there were good players. You know, there's always the whole, there are good players around as well. But yeah, the playing a game, and I think it boils down to playing a game in a competitive environment that isn't geared to being played in a competitive environment.
Whatever it was, the people that I was playing against, and I was, you know, bottom tables, don't get me wrong, but even so, the people that I were playing against, I just didn't want to play again. You know, they were, if I was going to say a stereotypical Warhammer 40k player, they were it, you know, neck beards, bad smells, stained t-shirts, etc., etc. And I just didn't want to do that. And that was it. That was the end. I quit everything. I sold it for like pennies and just got out completely. And I still look at it occasionally and I look at the figures and I go, oh, I'd love the figures. And I think, oh, I could do that. You know, I could play that. And then I go, no, because you don't like it. And you don't like, you don't want to, you know. If there were a couple of people locally who wanted to play 40K, then I would consider it.
I think that's, you know, that's the big thing, isn't it? The gaming environment that you're playing in.
Yeah. One of those six monthly games. You know, I go around Spoon's house and we have a 40K knockabout. But it's a large investment in time and money. To do that, and I'm not inspired to do it anymore. so I suppose that was the biggest one, and the other ones that I sort of fell out of, WAB I fell out of because I just moved to an area where no one was playing it.
Yeah, I think that's something that happened. It just became, or it was played less and less at the club. So you then, you know, from a popularity point of view, or you trying to get good use out of your gaming time when you play a game, because there was no one there around near where I was playing it to play against, it didn't get played. I would still try and put myself out there and go to the odd WAB tournament, but I think the other thing is with WAB is I didn't lose interest in it. The supplement started to change the way the game was played. So you had new rules always published, usually in a WAB army book. You'd have new periods, and then did you want to play Dark Ages against sort of classical era armies and all that sort of stuff, you know?
But that's one of the issues with historicals in general, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, I agree.
If you're playing it's one of the things that Saga did initially very, very well, is keeping to forces that would have met in a time period that they would have met.
Yep.
And they sort of, with the later supplements, you know, the forces became more and more obscure and less likely to have faced each other. And now you've got the new system, which technically you can play against each other. And supposedly is balanced, though I haven't actually tried it. But then you're getting more and more out of period. And it always struck me that historicals work very well in period. You know, if you've got the Egyptians versus the Hittites, that's excellent. If you've got Egyptians versus Normans, I mean, there's 3,000 years separating those two cultures.
Yep. So that's a sort of pseudo list creep stroke. The whole outer period thing is basically going to work or not going to work. And even from an aesthetics point of view, it doesn't look right anyway. You know, you've got a load of Hittites in chariots and everything against heavily armoured Crusaders or whatever, you know, it just doesn't necessarily look right either or feel right. as well.
No.
It's like putting your Space Marines against fantasy dwarves or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I suppose just thinking about it. I mean, the other thing that takes you away from games and has you fall out of love is that you have a new love.
This is true. A new hotness comes along.
That's really what happened with you, isn't it? With War Machine and Warhammer, is that everyone was, you know, you fell in love with War Machine and the tightness of the rule set and things. Plus, your mates were all playing it down the club.
Well, it wasn't necessarily that, because I was sort of one of the guys who picked up. I bought the original Mark I War Machine rules, which was the coloured cover rule book with black and white, purely black and white inside. And I bought a battle box then at that time as well. And that was from a Salute ages ago. Never ever did anything with it. It wasn't until Hordes came out that I actually started playing it. And a number of us at that point picked it up. And then we actually put the stuff together and had some battle box games, and it sort of progressed from there. But and the reason that happened was because of our belief or our interest in Fantasy Battle at the time. Fantasy Battle was, we were getting bored with it because of the army creep, the issues that we see as a community with the game at that point in time. And I think we were looking for something new as well, because of that boredom, you know, and because of those things. It had a link into fantasy because it was the beast side of thing. And then it picked up. And then, you know, when you get people who are interested in it, who are also sort of community drivers, community builders, then inevitably, as you and I know, they'll do something about trying to build a community as well. So that's, I believe, why one of the reasons why the game became popular here as well. It's just word of mouth at the end of the day as well. And the quality of the game, obviously, as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the fantasy battle interest had waned, even though we'd invested time and effort into it, you know, in many ways, you know, not only on the hobby front, but just community building front as well.
Yeah.
It wasn't floating my boat anymore. As such, but I'd been through that with fantasy as well. You know, you have these periods of, oh, I don't really want to play that. I want to just give it a rest, and then you leave it a few months and you go back to it, and your interest is back again. So, I think if you have that sort of issue with a game system as well, in terms of that waning interest, which then gets resparked again.
Yeah, maybe. But I think there are certain games in the player's psyche that they can go away for years and then come back to and still be in love with it. I mean, I look over at my figure case now, and the obvious example that I've got is Epic.
And Fantasy to a certain extent, I think.
Well, possibly Fantasy. I mean, not. I don't think, because I didn't go as far away from it. You know, when I moved to when I lived in the States, I was still playing Fantasy. When I came back, I was still playing Fantasy.
Okay.
Not as well, you know. I mean, I was playing in tournaments in Scotland and things. Not as much as I had been, but I was still playing. But Epic is the one, you know. I've never been to an Epic tournament.
I've never been to an Epic tournament as well. I mean, and I kind of find it strange that I haven't been to one, but I also understand it because I think there are levels to that game. Very much like Hordes War Machine, you know, you can play it at different levels, you know, but it's one of those games, obviously, that if you practice and you know your stuff inside out, then you can do well at. So
I know the rules, so it's always a good start.
Yeah, there is that.
I haven't got that far yet.
I've not really had the luxury. I've not played any versions of Epic other than Armageddon, so I didn't have that experience. So. But I do understand it as well.
But, I think, you know, that I look over there and I just have that love for that game. That
There's an interesting One of the things that Rich says is he says, is it the scene? I don't think it's the scene. I think it's just general lack of interest in the game, and I think it boils down to your local communities being able to play that game. I think if you have a vibrant or a regular group of players, just take Epic, for example. There are a group of players and they have their tournaments in the UK, and it's usually the same people, but the scene is still going on.
Yeah.
And the other thing is it the eventual fate of a game that has matured? I don't think so either. I think if it's good enough, it will stick around and the interest will still be there.
Yeah, I mean, Fantasy Battle's been going for 30 years.
Look at WRG, you know, the DBM type stuff. Chess even, you know, if you want to take it to that sort of level. So,
but there are other people. I mean, there are gamers out there that, you know, who will play something because it, you know, it really floats their boat, regardless of, you know, there might be six other people in the country playing it.
Yeah.
And you know, they just have this deep, passionate love of it. I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, my mate, Ginger Dave.
Yep.
So he loves World War One games. You know, he was heavily involved in when GW were doing their Great War books.
Yep.
He's now heavily involved with playtesting the set of rules that Scarab are working on. Shows anything, because he just loves World War One games. That's just what he loves. Now, for me, he and I have played a couple of times, and I just don't get the appeal. You know, my squad moves to here, the heavy machine gun shoots them, they're all dead. Okay. no, it's not me. He loves World War One games, and I think it's to do with the story it plays in his head.
Yep.
You know, we've talked about it in the past, about how, you know, the stories that go through gamers' heads when they're playing. And I don't know if it happens to every gamer, but...
It's not only the stories, it's the look and feel and the imagery and the passion that period or flavour or era gives you as well. Nick Roberts, he's got a huge interest in Napoleonics. Have I ever played a game of Napoleonics with him? No. Never, because Napoleonics just... we've got a froggy moment.
Ribbit.
Just don't float my boat. Napoleonics just don't do anything for me. However, you say that. I say that, and if I take it to a squad level, a sharp type level... I was just about to say...
I'd forgotten that you used to play that.
I used to play Flintlock, and I then later on I used to play Slaughterloo, which was the mass combat version of Flintlock. But essentially, it was Napoleonics, but in a fantasy setting. So how weird is that sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, I'd completely forgotten that you used to play that.
Well, there you go. It was a good game as well. It was a decent game system.
So why did you stop playing it?
Because the group that I was playing that game with essentially broke apart, or we stopped seeing each other, and that was it, really. I've still got some of my Flintlock stuff. I think the game's still going, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. I think that's probably the biggest reason why you fall out of love with the game, is that you don't play it anymore. The people that you're playing with just disappear.
Or stop playing it themselves.
Yeah, I mean, especially, you know, most people get into gaming, you know, seriously in their early to mid-20s. And then life happens.
Yep.
You know, you get a relationship. You know, 99% of people get into a serious relationship. Children may turn up.
Usually at Christmas time and Bob a Job.
Yeah, with their hands out.
Yeah, trick or treat.
You know, mortgages and jobs and all that fun stuff just get in the way. And so
mowing the lawn.
Mowing the lawn. Friendship groups just split apart. And if you're not getting your regular gaming fix in, things are going to be better. I mean, certainly, you know, my gaming was on a major downward turn until we moved to where we are now. And then I got involved with new gaming clubs and new people to play with.
Yep.
And that just, you know, then my interest level went straight back up again. We were at the club yesterday and was talking to a guy, and he was showing me this new set of rules from Osprey, which is another set of rules from Osprey. They pump them out. But it's a sort of Jason and the Argonauts type rule setting.
Yes.
And the rules are designed for your hero, your general. He's effectively a demigod.
Yeah.
You use a 54mm figure to represent him.
Okay.
So that he's massive compared to everyone else.
Oh, I see. In context to the normal 28, 32mm yeah. that you're using. Yeah.
So he looks like this giant hero cutting swathes through the other guys.
World of Gods and Mortals mythological war games.
That's it. And I was looking at it and I was thinking, I could do a little warband for that.
But he's, do you know what is so wonderful about... And now we're moving completely to topics. Is that at the current time, and certainly in the last, I'd say, 5 to 10 years, there's been so much around more. Everything's much more accessible. And there's a lot of things there to sort of pique your interest. So that will take time away from other stuff. And I think this is another thing now that we're experiencing, is that we've got a lot of different types of games out there. When you've got lots of choice, interest in stuff wanes, but it doesn't completely go. You can go in. It's like going to a library sort of thing. You know, you go, oh, I'm going to read this today. Oh, I'm going to read this type of novel today. So you can pick and choose. So you've got the opportunity there to play a bit of classical sort of Jason and the Argonauts, whatever you want to call it, you know, Ulysses type figures in a skirmish setting, in a sort of fantasy skirmish setting, but then you're still looking around for like a science fiction game. There's a new edition of Infinity out. You might dabble in that. It might be okay. Who knows? You go back to Malifaux, playing.
Yeah, I'm quite worried about going to Wayland tomorrow because they will have copies of Infinity.
But do you see what I'm saying?
No, I agree completely. I think the other thing is and as you say, we're completely off topic now. My love of games, the games I'm playing, I'm sort of mentally dividing in my head these days games that I'm going to play with mates, and games that I'm interested in getting involved in a wider community.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in getting involved. Obviously, I'm interested in getting involved in the wider community of Malifaux. I'm quite interested in getting involved in the wider community of Epic. And if I can get the rules down and actually get someone who knows the rules to just play a few games with me.
Yep.
I would consider going to an event next year.
Spoons weekend.
For Epic. Yeah. Oh, for learning. That's my plan. But then Spoons came over my house the other day. And we decided we'd have a game of Dead Man's Hand. Dug out the Dead Man's Hand figures. Played Dead Man's Hand for a couple of hours. I've got no interest whatsoever in going to an organised event for Dead Man's Hand. Just no interest. But for 2.5 hours on a Tuesday evening, playing with a mate, it was absolutely brilliant. We had an absolutely brilliant time. You know, I shot one of his Mexican banditos with a natural 20. And then we just described what had happened, that he'd just been shot in the head and he'd slumped to his knees and his two six-shooters had fired into the ground, and then he'd fallen face forward and there was the puff of dust coming up.
We were
actually saying this to each other as we were playing this game.
But you may as well have been two little boys in a garden dressed up in cowboy outfits with your little six-shooters.
Yeah, exactly. So... but, you know, so that's how I sort of, these days I'm sort of mentally dividing games. There's games that I'm interested in going to. So another one is Star Trek Attack Wing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not interested in playing in organized events for Star Trek Attack Wing. And I know you have, but I've got no interest in doing that. But playing with a friend, pushing some ships around and going, photon torpedoes away! And making Klingon, saying random Klingon words. Blah!
Yeah, making up stuff, you mean.
Making up stuff, yeah. That's it. Anyway, we are so far over. It's unbelievable. We're at 30 minutes.
Well, hopefully.
Well, with a bit of luck, it will make up for the fact that we haven't put a show out for a few days.
Well, hopefully that will give people some idea of why we lose interest in games.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to plug your tomorrow's event?
Oh, go on then. Yeah, I'm walking a half marathon tomorrow.
Which with his knees is not a good idea.
And weight and back and age.
Yeah, in general. Yeah, so if Conrad's not around on Monday, it's because he died.
If I don't make club on Sunday, it's because I died. So I'm doing a 13.6, is it, for a half marathon walk.
Something like that.
Called the Shine Walk. And I'm trying to raise money for Cancer Research UK. I smashed my target on earlier this week, which was originally £1,000, thanks to all the people who supported me. But I've decided to up the target to £1,500. And I'm currently on 107.5. So I'm £425 off. And so if you have got friends, family, or have been affected in cancer in any way, as Mike and myself have, I lost my mother.
I lost my dad.
You lost your dad. We lost a friend. One of Anne's friend's husbands died this year at 51. My uncle's got liver cancer at the moment. My stepdaughter lost one of her best friends last year. And, you know, I'm sure there's many people out there who've lost friends, family to cancer. So I decided to try and do something about it, and this is it. I'm trying to raise some money. So if you would like to donate, you can do by going to www.justgiving.com/itsmeconrad. And it's a capital I, and it's a capital M, and it's a capital C. Don't know if that will make a difference. And donate, please. You can also, in the UK, I'm guessing it might work outside of the UK, you can text CEJG62, which are my initials in the year I was born, £10 or whatever, to 70070 to sponsor me. So you can also text by SMS.
There you go. You don't need the capital letters.
Oh, you don't. Okay.
Nope.
I thought it's me, Conrad. That'd be a good thing to do. So I'm going to be dressed up. I'm going to have glow sticks and be wearing shorts, not naked like you suggested on Twitter.
Well, it was the Shine Walk. I thought that was just going to be.
No, I think the shine is that you're meant to wear flashy stuff and blingy stuff.
Oh, okay. Not moonshine.
No, not moonshine, no.
Okay.
I'll be drinking moonshine. I have plotted out a... No, I haven't plotted out pub crawl for the way at all. I want to try and do it as quickly as possible so that I can have a good night's sleep and get up for club tomorrow and be able to function properly. So if anyone got a spare wheelchair, they want to push me around in, please come along. That was it, really. Please sponsor me.
Cool. So there you go. So go sponsor Conrad, because it is a very worthwhile cause. Hopefully we'll be back sometime next week with more episodes. You know, it's just me and Conrad at the moment, with the occasional one from Joel. Thanks, Joel.
But we still want other people to do stuff, so...
Oh, we want people... Yes, please. Please, please, please do record stuff and send it to us, and we'll just put it on the feed. But anyway, until then... I've been Mike.
I've been Conrad. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're @fools_daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.